Well, Rob is not our normal preacher, but I heard him in first service. He did a great job. Rob's one of our church leaders on our executive board and a great friend, has blessed me in many ways, he and his wife, Amy. And so I'm really excited to have him get up and preach God's word this morning, and I trust you will be blessed by it. So, great. Rob?
Thank you so much, Kurt. And if I don't know you guys, my wife, Amy, is here. My girls, Madison and Campbell. As Kurt said, I'm one of your board members getting to serve. And one of the newer ones, not the newest, but one of the newer board members. And it's been a great honor to get to do that. So I consider the, just a great privilege to get to talk with you guys today. It's interesting because Kurt, in this very room, some months ago, came to me and said, I've been watching you, and I think that you probably have it in you to preach, on a Sunday. And I thought that he was kidding, at the time. And it turns out that he was serious, and this is how these things happen. And luckily, he's given me a big old long runway to get to this point. So Amy and I have been here for 18 years, at the Journey. We know that because our youngest, Campbell, is 18, and we're just kind of teetering on this idea of empty nesting. She actually just left us this past week to go to school, and we have our oldest has come to live with us just a little bit longer in her new career. It's actually been a great thing. And, in that time that we've been here, Amy and I have been active in the marriage ministry, heavily in the marriage ministry for me, heavily in the men's ministry, and just a great blessing to get to do that. Before I get started, actually, along the lines of the marriage ministry in particular, I want to reintroduce that as we get ready to sign back up for small groups this fall, Amy and I have a marriage small group that we do here on Thursdays, if you're not familiar with it. A lot of you guys in the audience, I see some of you guys are participants in that, members. I did not have the panoramic lens on the day that I took this picture, but if I did, you'd probably see closer to 30 or 34 adults, taking part of that, 8 to 10 kids. It's just been a great ministry, and I think a blessing to a lot of people. So we start back up in early September. And would just welcome anybody else that's new, to this idea, says, I want to be part of that marriage small group. We would love it. We meet here at the Journey, so there's basically unlimited room. It would be great to have you guys. So today, though, we're going to be talking about women of wisdom. Okay, this is the last section of Proverbs 31. I think it's just so profound that this is really the last statement made out of this book of wisdom. We're wrapping up our series on the Summer of Wisdom soon. So I get a chance to talk about this today, about women of wisdom, noble, wise women of character that make an excellent model, as Kurt talked about. So you might be thinking in your head, maybe especially the guys in particular, Rob, why on earth did you choose to talk about being a godly woman? What do you know about that? I don't have a great answer for you except to say I'm not crazy if that was what was going through your thinking. But I felt what I considered to be a spiritual nudging, especially because I have in my circle, in my family, a lot of women. And I have, in some senses, studied this idea, this dynamic between men and women. So here's my suggestion for this morning, since I'm a new face up here. Don't worry about it being Kurt or Paul or Ron or me or anyone else being up here. Don't worry about cute little quips or smooth talking, anything like that. I think the only thing that really matters is that God's word talks, especially at the end of this book of wisdom, about women being wise women of God. And certainly as a man, I'm going to confess to you guys right now, I've got some limitations of my own in understanding women and all the nuances of a woman, but I'm happy to try to communicate what I see in Proverbs 31. So as friends of mine once said, God's word can stand on its own, which is comforting to me. So let's take a look at that. So before we do, there's a difference between men and women I just want to talk about real quick. The reason I want to talk about this, and the reason I'm so deeply involved with Amy in these marriage ministries, if you know us, you know a little bit about our story. 15, 20 years ago, Amy and I were in a deep valley, and I wondered if at that point I was still going to have a family. I wondered how much longer I would be married to Amy. And as many of you do know us, we came out of that to what I would say is just a profound, thriving, excellent marriage, where the each of us are second to Jesus. And now I know that probably sounds a little churchy, but let me put this into context because I live with girls. I should say women. Now, like I said, Campbell just left, so I'm going to say women. I live with all women. And these women in my life, this illustration I'm going to give you, is this difference between men and women. It's the first thing that I could think of. So I want to talk just for a second about shampoo. So Amy and Madison and Campbell, they will choose a shampoo based on at least, I would say at least 10 categories. The brand, the smell, the color of the bottle, the color of the goo that comes out of the bottle. Certainly what other people say about the shampoo. There's got to be somewhere in there that the shampoo handles like the frizzy, you know, ends of the hair. You know, whether or not it handles frizz like that. Certainly how much price, what the cost of the thing is. Me, as a man, I pick a shampoo if it says shampoo on it. And as you can imagine, if you're looking at me right now, I don't use a whole lot of shampoo, but like this morning, it said shampoo, so I used it. So my point in that is there's a difference between men and women, how they approach all kinds of things. And it's beautiful in the way that God puts this section into the Bible, calling out differently and separately wisdom with women. And there's a difference in how men and women approach wise living. And God gives the outline, and I would say a template or a blueprint in Proverbs 31. It's really beautiful. So the question then for today that I would say is, what are those traits, those pieces, those parts that you think make up an excellent, wise woman of character? Okay, what I want to do is give 3 points of encouragement for women. What does a wise Proverbs 31 woman look like? I think it helps us to make sure we understand, what are we talking about here? What does the Bible say are those traits? The second thing is, if you're going to pursue that template, that model, there's probably something required of you, some energy that's going to be required. Why make that effort? And I want to give you some answers for the why this is worthwhile. Okay. The third thing is, if you decide to make that effort, I mean, how do you do it? Some of you guys are already Proverbs 31 women, you know, already on your own. You're Proverbs 31 women in training, possibly. But how? How do we get started? What are the successful ingredients to get going on this? And then the last thing I want to say is going to be to the men. And to the men, what I want to talk about is, if you've got Proverbs 31 in your circle, in your family, certainly if it's your wife, I want to talk about the appropriate response when you're exposed to this. Okay. So just a couple things real quickly on the background of this scripture before we get started. I think it helps to know who wrote this and maybe why. The majority of scholars out there would say that this is King Lemuel. Okay. This is an unknown king that we don't know anything else about, writing about lessons that his mother has imparted to him. And some scholars even say that King Lemuel is probably another name for King Solomon, who you guys do know wrote most of the book of Proverbs in the Bible. Either way, I think that's not as important that we know how much about him, except that he was about to become king, and his mother is imparting to him some lessons that he wrote down, and that's what we have. One of those is, King Lemuel, this is the kind of wife that you should look for as you're getting ready to take the throne, okay? Somebody that's going to be the queen. The other thing I want to say about this before we read it is that Proverbs 31 is what they call an acrostic. Okay, if you've never heard that before, this is like a poetic version of writing where each successive sentence, each successive line in the scripture is alphabetically ordered to the Hebrew alphabet, like A, B, C, D for us, okay? And scholars would say that this is probably done so that young men who, there wasn't a whole lot, everybody didn't write stuff down back then. It was a lot of memorization. But that they could memorize and have at the ready what it is that they would be looking for in a woman. Okay, this wise, noble woman of character. Okay, so those are some reasons why. Maybe more importantly, why did God include this? There's so much to be said, you know, throughout the Bible and in Proverbs in particular about women. Some of those are warnings, right? And remember that Proverbs are promises, not promises, I should say. They are principles to live by. Proverbs are not promises, but rather they are principles to live by. But there's numerous examples of women throughout Proverbs. Some of those would include the quarrelsome woman, where it says it's better for a man to live on the corner of his roof than to try to coexist in his home with the woman, Proverbs 21:9. The woman who seduces and indulges in adultery and won't leave it, Proverbs 5, that whole section is about that. The woman who is constantly argumentative and hot-tempered, Proverbs 21:9. And lastly, and this one is really interesting, I want to look more into this over time, but the woman who with her own hands tears down her home, right? You've all probably been involved in trying to counsel couples over time that to keep this home together if they can. Sometimes it's the woman, not the man. Sometimes it's the man, but that can tear this down. Now, I believe that Proverbs 31 is the counter to some of those other examples, those warnings of poor models. And in ancient societies, women were generally very low on the social hierarchy. So it's amazing and it's wonderful and it's a good thing that the Bible addresses the value and the dignity of women in this section. I think it's rightful that we give praise and honor and respect to that. You're going to see that as a recurring theme as we read that here, this idea of give praise, okay? So let's read this together. This Proverbs 31 starts at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life, and she selects wool and flax, works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Right away, you can see this is probably a woman even of commerce of some sort. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arm to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. I'm going to come back to that verse here in just a second as one of my illustrations. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come, as I would say all believers can. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And this is where we start to see that it shifts from all the things she's doing into her character and her wisdom. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also. And this is him going to say this now. He praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So you see that idea of praise kind of being pervasive, especially through the end of this. But the first two-thirds of those verses, you can see about her behavior, the energy she's got, and the things that she's doing that tend to bless everybody else. Final third, more so about her character and her wisdom. So for today, I've got this structure that I want to suggest to you guys as a way to take a look at this. 3 points of encouragement for women. The first is, what does a wise Proverbs 31 woman look like? Okay, and we're going to talk about some others here in a second, but I've got a few points about, I think it's important to understand what she is, what she really looks like, what we've just read. Hopefully, as you read through that, you can understand that this woman is industrious, right? There's a piece of this, two pieces of this set of verses I want to pull out. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. As you read this, you start to wonder, like, when does this woman sleep? I mean, she's really active. Secondly, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. That second verse is really tender to me. Amy's already, she sat through this first service, so she heard me say this already. So, but I don't know prior to that if I had ever really let Amy know how profound it was for me when we would go on our winter vacations. We do like a ski kind of, you know, vacation. And as a family, we would go. We always had, like, all the warm gear that we need. I mean, we're from Texas, right? Imagine none of you guys are thinking about hats and mittens right now. But we always had exactly what we needed. I mean, all the way down to scarves and, you know, head coverings and boots and pants and even, like, the, you know, the ski goggles, all of that stuff. And I think that she just saw the need in advance, went out, procured this thing, including all the sizing and everything that everybody needed. To me, that's a lot like this idea of scarlet, where they used scarlet back in the day. It was red and it would absorb heat. It was the thing that they wore in the wintertime, it said. For us, this was Amy, the comparative, taking care of all those needs that we would stay warm. And all we knew is that we were. We went on our very merry way, just knowing that we were warm and taken care of. Second thing I would say is that she's generous. And you can see that In the verse here, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Now, this woman is not white-knuckled on the finances, right? One thing I've learned from my studies about men and women is that women have a need for security. One of those needs for security is financial security as well, especially if they're dependent upon their husband, right? But this woman, you can see, this is extraordinary, right? She is not white-knuckled. She's not overly consumed with the finances. Third, I would say that she's known as a wise teacher, okay? And you can see that in one of the verses pulled, you know, right from Proverbs 31. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Probably her children is the primary, you know, beneficiary of this. Certainly her circles of influence. There's other parts of the Bible that talk about women that are older than younger women mentoring and coaching and speaking truth and teaching to the younger woman. I think that this is this Proverbs 31 woman does that. Okay. The fourth thing I would say we see is that she's a woman of dignity, so worthy of honor and respect. Right as soon as the Proverbs 31, right out of the gate, she's worth far more than rubies. Other areas of Proverbs use that same expression. Getting wisdom, for example, earlier in the book of Proverbs. Like, trade what you've got to get this. It's worth more than anything else that you've got, this idea of wisdom. In this case, we're talking about the woman of wisdom. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Okay, this idea of dignity, this woman is worth honor and respect. That's her husband saying that right there again. That's pretty profound to me. Okay, and then lastly, this woman has a reverence for God. She's a God-fearing woman. She is a woman that fears the Lord and therefore is to be praised. That's right at the very end of this section on Proverbs. And though not expressly called out in Proverbs 31, I would add to these that this woman is very likely a source of stability in her family. My marriage small group that we just did this study on love and respect. Big piece of that was this Ephesians 5:22, where the woman is compared to the church, right? And this comparison that Paul, the Apostle Paul, gives, where the husband is to act like Jesus acted like, where he was ready to lay down his life to sacrifice, right? In this case, for Jesus' bride, for the church. In that same comparison, the woman is the church, what I would say is a great source of stability. And we see in all the things that this woman is doing, she's doing these things that tend to act as connectors, as glue for things like the family. It's important to know that the works that she's done that we've read about so far don't save. They don't save her. They don't save the people she's blessing with. But they do bless people, okay, and they're worthy of praise. So if we know then what a wise Proverbs 31 woman looks like from this section, from other connecting pieces of scripture, I think the next question would be, why make the effort? Because it's going to require something from you, for sure. And I have a few things on this. The first is beauty. This would be the first reason why. So why would I go and take the energy to go off and do this? The Proverbs 31 woman, I would say, exudes beauty. And that is something that the world really desperately needs, especially today. And I'm not talking about by her looks or by her tan, the clothes she's wearing or the jewelry or the blingery that she's got. But the Bible's got a lot of examples of these humble, beautiful women of wisdom. Ruth, the wife of Boaz, would be one example of that. If you know the story of Abigail, one of David's early wives, King David's early wives, those would be great biblical examples of Proverbs 31 women. And I'm convinced that you would know a beautiful woman when you're in the presence of a woman that's fully submitted to God. I know that there's something intangible about that, but you tend to know that. You recognize like just the beauty of this woman that is submitted to God. And there's really something to be considered, in my opinion, when Peter calls out, and I don't have a slide for this, so bear with me, just listen to this. 1 Peter 3:3-4. Your beauty, he's talking to women, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, the wearing of gold jewelry, fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is worth, a great worth, in God's sight. So these qualities that we've seen in Proverbs 31 are beautiful. And I think if you asked any God-fearing man, we're talking about God-fearing women, but if you asked a God-fearing man, he would say so as well. He'd recognize it. The second thing I would say for an answer to why make this effort, and this to me as we go from the junior varsity to the varsity level now, is the power to win others over for Jesus. this is a compelling, it should be a compelling reason why. The character that we see in a Proverbs 31 woman has the power, I would say, the influence to move people towards Jesus. This is the kind of woman that I think that the Apostle Paul is talking about in this section right here from Colossians 4:5 when he says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. If you know that section, this is about reaching people with the gospel. And this is also a fundamental part of the gospel message, and that is that time is short, okay, whether we recognize this or not. Whether it be by accident or nature, something natural happens to us, or just the return of Jesus, each person can be face to face with God at any moment. And believers should be comforted by that. That's good news. Okay? But believers should also be motivated by the knowledge that people around us are going to die apart from Christ unless they hear and receive the message of the gospel. And my suggestion is that a Proverbs 31 woman can help people see Jesus because of these unique things that she's got. Okay, now a more tender example, maybe a more close to home example of this, would be here what we see in the house, in the home. In this case, perhaps a husband that's not a believer. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. This is not a message on submission. Kurt, and he's going to someday handle that in other ways, I'm sure. But this is a message about and of the ability for the Proverbs 31 woman to move somebody, in this case her husband. If any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. I think that is really something. Noble, wise women of character living a life of obedience of their own to Jesus, I say have influence. That influence can win people, even obstinate people, over to Jesus. So we've talked about, you know, why make the effort? Beauty is there. The power to win others over for Jesus, which I think is so important, so profound. And the third, and maybe not, you know, the most least, I would say at the here and now is because the stakes are high and the outcome, in this case, the legacy that the woman is tied to, is desirable, okay? This outcome, this legacy is desirable. Before I say anything else about this, I want to say two things. One, rewards in heaven, okay, that we receive in heaven, first of all, starts this way, that salvation is a matter of faith. But other eternal rewards that we would reap in heaven, those depend on faithfulness. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians 5:10. Rewards now, things that we're going to see the benefit of, the joy and the just the awesome outcome played out in the home and in our community, that also is of great value, the here and now. A thriving a family is one of those. So I've got an illustration I want to share with you guys. This actually came from my daughter Madison and a great young man that she's been dating for some time, Colin. And his family is out of Houston, just a great family. Early in their relationship, they were wanting to get to know each other a little bit better. And so in our kitchen at home, they took the time to try to draw out each other's family trees. Now, this is Colin's family tree on the left. Okay, you can see it's pretty easy to follow, pretty easy to understand, right? I mean, it flows. There's married couples here and there. It was easy, I think, for Madison to digest. And even when I came up and looked at it, I was like, oh, I kind of get it. Okay. This family tree on the right, this is Madison's, which means it's mine and Amy's family tree, right? And what you see here is a lot of zigs and zags, dotted lines that end where there should be two people. Instead, there's only one. And as I said to Colin and Madison when I first came upon this in the kitchen that day, I said, guys, and I say to you folks, that my brothers and sisters, like, this is what divorce looks like. Okay. Now, I don't want to mislead you. You know families on the left where they're kind of hiding behind this structure that looks clean and pure and good, but they've got dysfunction, all kinds of dysfunction. You probably know families that look like mine on the right where all kinds of great things come out of that, right? And I have great people in my family. This is not a commentary on that. But my comment is that the woman of wisdom has a chance to make an impact, right, on her family. And possibly, probably, it looks more like the one on the left. Now, Amy and I are buried somewhere in the middle of this thing, and you see Campbell and Madison buried there too with us, right? Now, Amy and I have planted a stake in the ground that divorce is not going to be part of our legacy, right? And I pray that our girls carry that forward as well. And there's just all kinds of blessing, you know, that can come from those decisions afterwards. Again, my suggestion is that the noble woman of character has influence, and by the power of God can be used as glue to keep this family together and possibly into God's template and his design. So if you decide that, yes, that template is good, it's from God, it's his blueprint, decide that there's good reasons, compelling reasons to make that effort. Third question, how do I do it then? How would I get started? The first thing that I would say is all of us have some wounds, okay? And those wounds need healing. And women in particular have healing that would need to happen, I think, if you're going to go to this Proverbs 31 blueprint. And I want to just offer this encouragement to women. First and foremost, all of us are sinners. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, men and women, okay? But I think that it helps to be able to, you know, let go of that, to know that Jesus handles any shortcomings that we've got, that there are no perfect women out there. And this verse from Romans, I think, exemplifies this really well. So if you've been holding yourself up, women, to the standard where you feel like it just can't be met, right? I want you to have peace and comfort knowing that Jesus handles any and all shortcomings, okay? And the second thing I would say is if you decide that this is your pursuit, that you have to allow for transformation, my suggestion would be that you never really fully can become this Proverbs 31 woman without the power of Jesus. I don't think that you can get there on your own. Now, to the women, I say this. You're the only ones that can choose to lay down your lives, okay? Your wants, your wishes, whether you're going to be inconvenienced or not, and all your desires, in this case, at the feet of Jesus. So he is Lord. He loves deeply, cares for us immensely, and will take care of those that come to him fully. And we can find freedom in that. And I think that this next illustration I want to give is this idea of where a woman would give her energies, because they're pulled and called in a lot of different directions. But I think it's impossible to be inauthentic, right, and wasted energy when you're focused really on Jesus sincerely. And as an illustration of this, consider this story of Martha and Mary. So many of you guys know this story really well. Read this together real quick. So as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." See that exclamation mark there? I think that she's actually maybe shouting at Jesus. Now Jesus responds, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, and here I'm just envisioning that his voice is gentle and tender. "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one." And here in blue, the most tender part of this, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So I would say that in this case, you probably recognize and realize that Martha, in this case, was an incessant doer. Right, appearing to be stressed or stretched, maybe a woman on the edge, kind of, so to speak. But her enthusiasm for hosting went beyond that. Right, it went beyond just the idea of hosting, in this case for Jesus and his followers, and moved into a realm of an anxious, stressed person. Contrast that with Mary, who makes the decision up front to sit at the feet of Jesus. And when I read that, it is moving. And I think that it is tender. And indeed, Mary did choose what's better, and it won't be taken away from her. So I think there's a strong lesson in that about this idea of transformation. Just one illustration between the two sisters here, where, you know, a woman can be doing all these great things but still not be consumed with the doingness, especially without Jesus at the center. So the third thing I would say about how, what I read and interpret from the Bible, it has to start with this idea of saying yes to a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to comment a little more, not just the yes, but a nuance about the level that we're saying yes here. So some of you guys will recognize this picture here, right? I don't know if this jumps out at you. Some of you guys do know it, right? This is Michelangelo's painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. I believe it's called The Creation of Man. Okay. But some things stand out to me about this. First of all, there's two arms here. You can probably guess one of these is the arm of God, okay? The other is the arm of mankind, right? You'll notice some differences about these. And Kurt and I agreed that we wouldn't show any more than the arms because I don't think it's right and appropriate to show mankind's image of what God looks like with a white beard and all that stuff. Okay, but in this case, we've got these two arms that are reaching for each other. And I want to just talk about a couple things about this as a work of art. First of all, God is all powerful. He's not a needy God. He doesn't need us. I do see in Scripture that he's a jealous God and he wants his children to follow him. Okay. Secondly, that arm of God that's reaching out, and you probably guessed if you, if you hadn't already, that it's the one on the right. Okay. A great comparison for that could be, or metaphor, is that this is suitable for Jesus. That point of contact that's just about to happen between God and mankind is only possible through Jesus, that final touching point. But what stood out to me maybe more than anything else is the third thing here, and that is that one of those arms is reaching like with might, right? Muscles stretched, sinews, tendons reaching. The other one is reaching, but it's almost like lukewarm, okay? Read about lukewarm in the book of Revelation as well, okay? And that is my point here with this is when we say yes, are we saying yes fully and wholeheartedly? This desire for us, I like this scripture, it's from Matthew. Jesus is saying this as he's standing on a hill overlooking the city of Jerusalem, so speaking to the Jews, okay? How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And here again, I put this part in blue, and you were not willing. So I think the how, this idea of how do I do it, it starts not just with a yes, but a vibrant yes. Okay, that has a whole lot to do with laying down our own agendas. So the last thing I want to talk about then is for the men. So we've talked about women, what it looks like to be a wise Proverbs 31 woman, why you would make this effort, and even how you would get started, how you do this, okay, what we can draw from Scripture. I want to finish with the men, okay, because men, you've got these women in your circles, right, whether it's in your home, in your workplace, extended family, whatever. But men, what would be the appropriate response to having a Proverbs 31 woman in your midst? Okay, I want to offer a few things. First is, with a Proverbs 31 woman, you can have trust. This Proverbs 31 section was about a wife, if you remember. You can have trust there. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. So what I'm talking about here, when I call this out, is having trust, giving her the benefit of the doubt, even when the fear is creeping into your mind about her. Okay, you can go on a work trip knowing that she's using your combined resources of the household, your credit cards, your checking account, everything you've got, the children, right? All of it is in a safe and stable environment with this woman, your Proverbs 31 woman, okay? And I think that that's really important to know, and it's important to do for women, or for men to know to do, is to have that trust. Secondly, I would say to nourish and cherish your wife, okay? Now, this is called out all through the Bible, not just in Proverbs 31, this idea of nourishing and cherishing your wife. So I would ask the men right now, how, right, we're talking about it, how are you doing that? How are you doing at it? There's a warning that I want to read to you. I don't have a slide for this per se, but in 1 Peter 3:7, Peter even warns husbands to pay close attention to the honor and respect that they are giving to their wives so that a husband's prayers will not be hindered. Okay, so that should be sobering to men. Meaning the opposite, if the opposite would be true, if I think about it, right? If I'm not giving praise and honor to my wife and respect to her, my prayers would be hindered. Nourish and cherish your wife would be a second thing that I would encourage the men. The third would be, this is certainly where we ratchet this up a little bit, right? Moving from just giving praise, but actually to giving your life away. Now, if you've done any of the men's studies, right? If you've been here on Saturdays or we used to do Tuesdays, you know, this is a recurring theme as well, this idea of dying to self, okay? So if you remember that passage I talked about, Ephesians 5:22, earlier on, where the woman was compared to the church, okay? In that same section, the man is compared to trying to do what Christ is doing for his bride, the church, which is giving his life away, at the ready to do so, all right? And I'm not always, I think we get caught up in thinking, oh, I need to die for my wife, you know, today. My gosh, I hope that I would be able to do that, you know, if my time came. But even in small ways we can do this, to put down what we want in favor of her. The last thing I would say is this, okay, and this is called out directly from Proverbs 31, this idea of praise. We talked about that, and if you read Proverbs 31, you can see this idea of praise all throughout the scripture, right? Praise your wife, love your wife, okay, as opposed to criticizing. Or insult, certainly insulting her. This is kind of the end of Proverbs 31 here. A woman who fears the Lord, okay, this wise woman of character, is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The city gate was a public place. This this person, this man, is to praise his wife in public even. Okay, and so I think we see that in God's word, that we as men are called to do this. Now, some of you guys are telling me, Rob, there's not much right now for me to praise in my wife, right? You're feeling that. She does this, she does that, or she doesn't do this, or she doesn't do that. I just want to counter that, and I just want to rebuff that for a second and say, my encouragement is there is something that you can praise. There is something that you can praise, and you can do it in all kinds of different ways. There's something that is praiseworthy in the beginning, even if it feels like very few. You can find something. Now, I'm going to confess to the men right now, I don't have this all figured out. If you don't know me, I started this sermon with the story of Amy and I, where we have come from, and the valley that we had to come out of. Part of that was learning how to love, respect, and even give praise to Amy. Now, I'm just going to give you one way. You know, what I found in being a student of my own marriage, of Amy, is that she tends to feel love or respect and praise with little notes that I can send her. Okay, now I've chosen to do this on a napkin every morning. I get up a little bit before Amy each morning. It gives me the opportunity to make the coffee, and then I get a chance to think about her and try to write something down on a napkin. And we've been doing this for years and years, like to where I need to think of something new each day, right? But it's not hard with her. You're such a good wife and a mother. What did I do to deserve to have you? That's just a message. Now I know that resonates with Amy because she takes pictures of these and she puts them in our family album, you know, over the years. There's a lot of these. Some days I don't have the words, but I still want to connect with Amy. I want her to feel loved and praised. This might seem silly or seem funny to you, but guys, if you run out of words, you don't have the words to speak, you can draw a picture, right? That actually is supposed to be a sweet potato. My youngest, Campbell, really encouraged me to use this picture as my illustration today. It goes under the coffee cup as well, right? But there's all kinds of ways to do this. You can text her. Some of you guys are great at just, you think about her during the day, you text her, right? Something that she did that was meaningful to your family, you text her. Send something, right? There's all kinds of big ways and small ways to do this, okay? So that is the wife of noble character from Proverbs 31. And as we wrap this up, I just want to understand what we've seen and what we've heard, that there's strong evidence that God is giving a tremendous and profound, important blueprint, okay, for women to live a life of wisdom, and all this meaningful use of the energy that she gives, not just to her family, but her circles all around her, and people are blessed by that, and certainly the witnessing of her devotion to God. We talked to women about what a noble woman of wisdom looks like in this section. We talked to women about why the pursuit of Proverbs 31 is a worthwhile pursuit. We talked about how women can mature towards the Proverbs 31 woman, right? Many of you are there already. Many of you are Proverbs 31 women in training. And that critical need to go to God because you can't get there on your own is my suggestion. And then lastly, talking to the men, and I would say their families, children too, about praising this woman for what she is doing, okay? All right, so that's it. So let's pray, and then we have one other important thing to do, okay? Father, thank you so much for this passage, this scripture today. And the confidence that we can have in talking about this tremendous outline and blueprint that you've given for women to reach for, to stretch for, and the benefit that comes when they're operating in that way. We know that apart from you, we can do nothing. Your word says that to us, that apart from you, we can't be productive and fruitful, but with you, in you, these women can be. Father, I pray that you send out your spirit to boost them to be able to do this, and to the men, how to respond appropriately when they have Proverbs 31 in their presence. We just give you so much thanks and praise in the name of Jesus.